Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, November the 13th, 316th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Supervisor, and I guess your last show until things happen. Yeah. Well, no, this was self-imposed, so you did this one to yourself, man.
As it, with the rest of the decisions I make.
Yeah.
Self-imposed.
Mr. Sundberg out of the fifth. Good afternoon, sir.
How are you, my friend?
Oh, we are just enjoying life, aren't we?
Yep. Yeah, it's a beautiful day. Day, another day.
Well, now that explains the sweater.
In the sweatpants and yeah. Headband.
Well, I was thinking, you know, beautiful day in the neighborhood, right, Mr. Rogers?
Okay.
Yeah, but apparently your Mr. Rogers lives in a different neighborhood than mine does.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I have the new version.
Yeah. This afternoon, we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about a couple of different things. Marijuana in your neighborhood. If it is, it may not be, and if it isn't, you may be able to protect yourself from it. Perhaps. Yeah, perhaps. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Also, first quarter budget reviews. Talk about scintillating, but actually there's some good news there, so we'll talk about that also. And we'll get an update on the ambulance situation, or medical response, I guess is probably better, huh?
Yep.
In the Hoopaw Willow Creek area of the county.
Emergency response.
What'd I say?
I don't know. Something wrong.
No, I said medical.
Medical.
It's all emergency when I'm bleeding out. How about you?
Yeah, it would be an emergency.
Okay, so Eastern Humboldt, you may want to pay attention when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. Boy, do we have a couple of choices here.
Any good ones?
No, not particularly. It's all in the education area. Okay, here we go. From Blaise Pascal. Quote, contradiction is not a sign of falsity, nor the lack of contradiction a sign of truth.
Hmm.
Yeah. Go along to get along thing. Not here.
Is that part of the Affordable Care Act?
No, it's only one line.
No, okay.
Has that thing started to settle out? Or are you getting people looking to find out what's the county involvement? How's the county going to deal with this? How are you going to deal with it? What should we do? Like you're an insurance guy still?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I have a different perspective when I, you know, because I sold health insurance before I did this job, and I am really worried about it. And then I actually asked the director Crandall from Health and Human Services. I said, "How does this impact the county? If this thing doesn't do what it says it's going to do, how does it affect the county?" And I mean, the answer is this is a law, and we have to follow that law until they change the law, which is okay. So. You know, the Humboldt County.
It sounds scary, close to what Nancy Pelosi said.
What did she say?
Pass it and then read it.
And well, now they're reading it.
Don't you want to know where you're headed here? Yeah, yeah, and what the implications might be?
Yeah. So, well,
it's best case scenario.
How it affects the county, though, is we are the administrator for seven counties, signing people up and all that, and it's we've gotten checks for that to make it happen, and. So we don't have a choice. We have to we have to administer this. We have to sign people up. We have to follow the law until they change the law, which makes sense. I mean, there's not much else the county can do besides.
Unless there's no way to know what the law says and what they mean. I mean, even the stuff that happened last week about, I didn't mean what I said.
But none of that matters for the county. We have to.
No, but the implementation of it does, and then the changing of the definitions do. I mean, if
there's
isn't is.
Well, there's still an exchange. And there's still people who are signing up for it, and we are still administering it.
Yes.
And it is what it is.
So does the state have its act together on this?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Short conversation if you don't know.
No.
Okay.
What worries me is to make this thing work, and this is the same as when I was just leaving selling health insurance. It was when we were going through the economic downturn, there was a lot of the younger, healthy people that were leaving the healthcare system, and it was leaving the older, sicker people, and the rates were really rising quickly because of that. And the Affordable Care Act is under the same kind of pressures for price. Is, you know, if you don't get the younger, healthy people to sign up, you're going to be left with older, sicker people. And in a couple of years, the rates are just going to skyrocket, because you have to have that large pool to make these kinds of insurance pools work. You know, you can't have all the users and none of the non-users. It'd be like car insurance, where you only had people with 3 DUIs and 10 accidents in the system. They're going, you know, as a whole, they're going to get in more accidents. They're going to cost you more money. You need really good, safe, careful drivers in the pool, or the price is going to be crazy.
There was a presentation. Mr. Crandall didn't speak, but he was up there, from one of the folks in his department, and we had a couple of questions from the floor. I had asked, well, what happens if there are no doctors, if they're all retiring or they're not getting paid enough to stay in the profession? The comment was, well, they're getting paid for Medicare now, and this is the same level. Okay, but those are the people that they're not getting full compensation for that are dragging down things. So if that becomes the standard, there's not going to be as much cash flow. Ergo, we're going to have a whole lot less people. And that there were some providers who were leaving the county, leaving the state, leaving the region. Well, so what if the county has got the responsibility to enroll and to administer and to monitor? Are you going to be in the recruitment business for GPs and clinicians also, if there's not enough providers?
I don't know if we're in the position to monitor, though. That's...
Well, there's got to be some reporting loop that's going on.
Yeah, we enroll and then report, but I don't know if we...
That would be my definition of monitoring.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I don't know if around... You know, we already struggle with trying to get doctors here, and I believe our hospitals here are all going to stay in the program. But, you know, there's other areas where I'm hearing that there's hospitals that are not signing up for this. And, you know, because one of the things they did was they lowered what the reimbursements are, and makes it very difficult to keep the same, you know, there's some doctors that are just going to take private patients only and call it a day. And that's really, you know, if you've used that doctor forever, you're in trouble.
And you can see how tempting that would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
KINS, News and Information, Times 319. We'll be back with more from Ryan Sundberg.
Now I'm going to Sunshine for Humboldt. The North Coast Repertory Theater is now celebrating its 30th season with 6 treats for Humboldt audiences. First is the George S. Kaufman Moss Hart Pulitzer Prize-winning comedy, You Can't Take It With You. Then the musical, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, based on the Peanuts comic strip. After the holidays, there'll be a double feature straight from ancient Greece, the murderous tragedy Oedipus the King and the comedy Women in Congress. Next is the side-splitting Complete Works of William Shakespeare, a parody in which all 17 of the Bard's plays are played in 97 minutes. Late Spring features the North Coast premiere of the popular Les Miserables. The season ends with The Poor of New York, a melodrama from 1857 of the problems of a middle-class family not all that different from today's. For dates, times, and details, call 442-6278. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic organization dedicated to the people and events that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, as you look at some of the different challenges that are out there, I know at times, shifting sands kind of seems like what you are all standing on. What is certain today isn't quite so certain tomorrow, and maybe be entirely gone by next week. So when you and the others look at a budget review and try to get a sense of where things are. Do you look at the discrepancy between where you thought you'd be and where things are? Do you rely on staff reports as a primary funding source or source of information? What references do you have to go, yay, we're doing okay? Or, uh-oh.
Yeah. Our CAO, Phil Smith Haynes, he has, fortunately, the same philosophy I have on money, you know, in budgeting, and that is to be conservative when you budget. And he has done, you know, after watching him for the last 3 years or so, he has done a good job with predictions, always coming out at least better than what he thinks. And this last go around, you know, we had some unexpected expenses. We had our health insurance. What the county does is we pay for the lowest plan available, and then if our employees want to have a higher plan, they can pay for it themselves. So when we got our last rate increase, the rate increase was really nominal. It was like 3 or 4%. However, the highest plan came down quite a bit. The lowest plan went up by 30%. So it affected the county, you know, by $400,000 because we pay for the lowest plan. So overall, the rate increase wasn't very big, but it ended up being a lot to our budget because we pay for that lowest plan. So we had some crazy stuff like that happen, but then we also didn't budget for the realignment money that was coming back to the counties because we didn't know exactly when it was going to come, if it was going to come, definitely not a chicken you'd want to count ahead of time because
it could get run over.
It could be swept really easy because that's what the state likes to do. And
I was doing the chicken crossing the road analogy.
Oh, okay.
So, sorry. That's twice I've lost you.
You've lost me twice. Yeah.
A long day already.
I'm a little slow too.
Okay. But you're not a slow chicken trying to cross the road.
Are you calling me a chicken? No, I'm kidding. Yeah. You're bigger
than
I am.
You're talking to me.
But that money came through, you know, and so we had big one-time money come through, and the money for the health insurance ended up being paid for and by that. So we had some unexpected expenses, we had some unexpected, you know, money come in, and it all ended up being, oh, the other thing we did is we looked at our fleet for cars that the county has.
Yeah.
In the motor pool, and we were able to shift a lot of that around, and that was something Supervisor Smith was all over when I first got here, and it's finally come around to where they figured it all out. And there was some cars hardly ever being driven, and they were really expensive to drive, and because they go by miles, you know, they have to average it all out, and most of the departments were being overcharged for the usage.
And so these cars that weren't being used that much.
They've redone the whole program, and there was quite a bit of savings in there as well.
Is the motor pool one of those areas that just seems to be a head scratcher? Because I remember when John Murray was CAO, finding a surprise, this, and it all kind of seemed to be around motor pool or non-tracked budget surpluses that just kind of materialized in about a 2 month window.
Yeah, and what I can say about it is there's some departments that aren't reviewed very often, and that was one of them. It wasn't being reviewed. It was just kind of a given that you have motor pool and you get charged this amount for when you take the cars out, and
it's probably not a big budget.
It's not a huge part of your budget, and just kind of go to overlooked. And what we decided to focus on is say, hey, we need you to go check this out because it seems like there's a lot of cars in there. Some are being driven a lot, some are not ever being driven. You know, can you come back with a report? And once they dug into it, oh, there's, you know, this has been going on for years and years, and now there's an accumulation. There's quite a bit of money in there that, you know, that doesn't need to be in there. And maybe the county doesn't need that many cars. So
you didn't go to bicycles, did you?
go to where?
Bicycles.
No, we've got those ITs that go around those two-wheeled things.
The Segways?
Segways, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, you haven't seen them around town?
That's kind of cool. Well, I don't get out much. KINS, News and Information, time is 3:30. We'll be back with more. But it explains the safety helmet you're wearing now with Ryan Sundberg.
I'm kidding, just for those people out there looking for Segways now.
Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County Supervisor Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, a couple of different challenges that are out there, and I don't know if we on the outside of the building really understand some of the challenges associated with, or the time, or the mental diversion, or whatever you want to call it. But I got to believe you spend an inordinate amount of time around marijuana-related or land use issues that most of us would question, why does it take so much time? And why can't this stuff just be surrounded, dialed in, nailed down, and you move on and not have to keep dealing with it all the time?
Yeah, it's... marijuana is always the, you know, it always gets people talking and gets a lot of comments, but when we tried to take this on before, we had a lot of comment. We had a lot of unhappy people saying, you know, you're not doing this correctly. In the meantime, Ryan, Supervisor Sundberg, is getting all kinds of phone calls from Willow Creek, from people who live next to people, or, you know, whenever there's an inversion layer that comes in the neighborhood, and the whole neighborhood smells so bad that nobody can go outside.
And, you're tired of
you
it.
Know, yeah, just... Yeah. And then there's some people who are just aren't good neighbors, and they'll just make life not happy for other people. So we were able to split this issue into two parts. So we did neighborhood impacts, and then we did large outdoor. So what does that mean? Well, we decided that large outdoor was 5 acres and more, and we're going to deal with that next. And we're going to deal with the neighborhood impacts now. And our staff is developing the ordinance for that now, where we said, if you're from a half an acre and under, then you need to use the county's indoor ordinance and not grow outside, because that's not an appropriate place to grow marijuana, is if you're on that small of a parcel.
So most residents, inside or not?
If you're under a half an acre, you need to grow indoor, because it's not appropriate to grow outdoors.
Right, I'm thinking Arcata, yeah. Fortuna, McKinley. I'm mostly incorporated or unincorporated, but developed.
Yeah, behind Cinnabar Sam's and Willow Creek, that there's a whole neighborhood in there that, you know, there's some people that are growing 7,500 plants on a small parcel, and it's just overwhelming the neighbor, you know.
Well, I've got a couple of buddies who used to have cabins right in there. Uh-huh. They wouldn't have been growing plants there. There might have been some defoliation going on, but you would have had some stalks.
Yeah.
So it really has changed the dynamics of a lot of communities, certainly, and neighborhoods as well. Is that what you're getting to, is to try
to get
it back to normalcy?
Well, there's certain places where you can have a pig farm, you know, because it stinks, and there's, you know, certain farming activities are not appropriate in the middle of a small neighborhood, you know. And this is the exact same thing. It's like, okay, there's appropriate places to grow this stuff, and there's appropriate places to not grow it. And if you do let them grow it, it's going to impact the neighbor's enjoyment of their property, their resale value. You know, they're going to have a hard time selling their house if you don't take care of these issues. And that's what I'm running into, especially out in Willow Creek. And I believe the ordinance that we have coming forward is going to take care of a lot of these little issues. And
so is this cleanup or is this shift?
Well, this is a shift because right now, if you have a 215 card, you can grow marijuana on your property and the sheriff will come. And as long as there's no sales and it's within reason, you know, whatever their, I don't know what their litmus test is for that, but as long as with, you know, as long as there's no sales and they think it's for 215 purposes, they just turn around and walk away. And if you've got, you know, 40 plants growing next to the neighbor 5 feet from their house, that's going to stink pretty bad. And at least now there'll be a tool that the sheriff would be able to use. Is this going to be code enforcement is how we'll deal with this. It'll be complaint driven, you know, so there's some people who are probably going to break this ordinance and their neighbor doesn't care and nothing will ever happen because it's going to be complaint driven. But
so by a complaint, that means that there's no filing of any kind of charges?
No, it's completely civil. Yeah, this is the same as if you have a bunch of garbage all over your property or you do a illegal junkyard or, you know, the code enforcement issues that we deal with. This is going to be handled the same way.
So if Deputy Sundberg shows up to Resident Papstein and I've got, say, 5 plants outside and I've got all the specs so it's not illegal, you're not going to rip the plants out, stuff them in the bedroom and say, okay, this is what you have to do. Do you just issue a citation? Do you cut down what is there? I mean, what is the implementation of that?
Yeah, we're doing the ordinance right now. We've got the outline, which says that if you're under half an acre, you shouldn't have any plants on your property. If you are from a half an acre to 5 acres, then you can have up to 5 mature plants in 50 square feet. So what I envision is, and what I think will probably happen is, say that Mr. Papstein has 8 plants and he's on 1 acre. Well, someone turns you in, we send code enforcement out there, they count up, oh, he's got 3 plants too many. We have to come up with some kind of expedited process to deal with that. And then they'll probably go rip the 3 plants out for an abatement process.
So which 3 don't you like? And we pull those 3 out and then it's over?
Yeah.
Kind of thing? Okay. I mean, it seems like a real simple, easy way to do it. Yeah. Hopefully non-confrontational, but...
Hopefully, yeah. And I'm hopeful that if once this happens a few times, the word will spread and people that are on small parcels and neighborhoods just won't grow there because it's not an appropriate place and you're stinking everybody out. We don't care if you grow.
How weird that we're talking about it in this form, huh?
Yeah.
That's, I guess things have changed a little bit. KINS, News and Information Times 343. We'll be back with more from Ryan Sundberg.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, the concept, the challenge, I would imagine, of having limited budgets all over the place and having silos of funding or funding that has strings attached or specific uses has got to be a little bit challenging when you're trying to work in some of the more rural areas because there ain't enough there to warrant some of the basic services. Mm-hmm. I know you've kind of had the opportunity to play around a little bit with the emergency medical response. You know, okay, so who should get an ambulance? Who should get a fire truck? Who should get a police car? How long should they wait? I mean, those things, and obviously there are different standards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if at the courthouse, your standard expectation is going to be slightly different than if you're in Hyapom. Okay. Yeah, and that's part of the trade-off for living in beautiful, scenic, you know, rural Humboldt County. Got it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you establish? How do you look for? How do you measure what's acceptable, what isn't acceptable, what's permissible, and maybe what isn't.
Yeah, that's tough. I don't know if I have a measurement for it, but I think that people who live in extreme rural areas, there is a general expectation that the services are going to be slow, non-existent, you know, and, you know, we'll have some kind of emergency backup for it, but it's going to be slow at best. And, you know, and I think you're referring to the Hoopa tribe. Always, you know, they have always funded a ambulance in Willow Creek and always one in Hoopa. The one in Hoopa goes all the way up to Orleans and downriver through Wichipec, and they've just always done that for, I think it's the last 30 years they've done this service, and it's never made money. But they've always had enough, because it's run through their medical center, the Kamau Medical Center, and they've always had enough money coming into the medical center from the federal government to be able to shift money around and fund the gap in what they get paid for doing the runs and how much extra it costs them. And it's,
so it was a high priority for them, but they had to take their funds. It wasn't supported by the county.
No. I think a long time ago I heard that there was some county funding for it, but that's been gone for a long time. So they've spent, you know, anywhere from $400,000 to $500,000 a year on the shortfall that they have, because they just have so few runs out there to the hospital, and the reimbursement rates are so horrible from Medicare and Medi-Cal. And
this even, is before what we were talking about,
yeah,
the implementation of the,
well, and it's getting worse. Yeah. It's worse with the Affordable Care Act. Those reimbursement rates are lower. So, but even if they were high, it still wouldn't make enough to break even out there. It's just not doable.
It just can't be justified.
Well,
dollars and cents wise.
Yeah, it's just not a profitable business to have an ambulance service in Eastern Humboldt County out there. It's, you know, the cost to have, you have to pay more to get qualified people out there, because they usually come from the coast and they do extra things. You know, they're probably one of the only ambulances around anywhere that has ropes in their car, and they'll go over the side of a hill. You know, most ambulances, they just go pick the person up, take them to the hospital, and drop them off. You know,
but
this
is
all advanced.
If the car's
life
over the edge, it's a little tougher. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, every single person that works on this crew is advanced life support, and they can climb over the side of a hill with a rope, and they're all trained. I mean, it's a much more advanced. You know, and they got to keep someone alive for 2 hours.
Yeah, the length of exposure.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty stressful, and it takes a special person to work out there. And, you know, so when they had budget concerns just recently, or, you know, they had a budget crisis with the government shutdown, and they've had sequestration happening for a long time now. And what that's done is reduce the amount of money going into their medical center, and they're not in a position to shift money around and fund the service anymore as they have in the past. And what their options were was they had to start furloughing people and cutting services. And their members were saying, well, why would you cut services here on the reservation to the members, where that, you know, that money comes in from the federal government, is supposed to go towards the membership? Why are you funding a ambulance service in Willow Creek?
Yeah, it's working for the Willow Creek folks. Yeah.
Yeah, when, you know, obviously, I mean, one of the reasons why they want it there is because their members drive down 299 as well. So it does, I mean, there is a nexus to be able to do that. But, you know, if you're going to cut services, you should probably cut the outside services first and then cut our services last, which
makes sense. Yeah.
You know, so when they had this crisis, we had to come up with money to fund this, and we've made a short-term and a long-term plan on how to keep this going, and I can explain it to you more next time I'm here.
That would be like during the political season.
Yeah.
This is the last one for a while.
Is it?
Yeah.
Can't be that.
See, whatever, you go and declare, and all of a sudden things change, man.
Oh man!
Thanks for coming by.
I know you'll miss me.
Oh, desperately. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out making a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.